And take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 27. We'll be in the book of Genesis tonight. Boy, I always love hearing you guys use your gifts for the Lord. And I'll tell you, I think that there is a certain level of courage and trust in the Lord that you have to have in order to get up and use those gifts. I understand that that's not an easy thing. And so I just want to tell you, I appreciate you being willing to do that and stretch yourself a little bit. It is certainly for God's glory, but for our benefit as we're able to enjoy it. Genesis chapter 27, we were just 10 chapters away from this last week. If you were here last week, we were looking at the life of Joseph, and we looked at some positive traits that you and I should be in pursuit of. How many of you remember the message on Joseph last week? You remember that? And we talked about Joseph and how he lost his coat. And the challenge, of course, was don't be afraid to lose things. And even you can expect to lose things in relations to following the Lord. Tonight, we're going to look at not necessarily a positive example. We're like we did with Joseph. We're going to look at an individual's life, and we're going to see some negative things. And I'd encourage you tonight, do we have any extra Bibles? Do we have some of those? If maybe you're in need of a Bible tonight, it's really my prayers that every single one of you would be able to bring your Bible to teen time. I do think that's really important. From time to time, we do forget, but we shouldn't make a habit of that. If you need a Bible tonight, if you just lift your hand, signal one of the youth workers, Brother Nathan, so he can get you a Bible, place one in your hand. And then if by chance the person beside you does have a copy of God's Word, they can maybe share with you. Very good. I think that we've got most of those taken care of. Hey, would you do me a favor tonight? Would you do this? Would you bow your heads with me tonight just to start things off? Would you do this? Go ahead, bow your heads, close your eyes. The question that should always be in the back of our minds when we start a teen time service is this: Lord, what do you have for me? Could you just take a moment and ask the Lord that? Just ask the Lord, what do you have for me? Nobody else looking around. Everybody's got their eyes closed tightly. Now, I wonder how many of you would say tonight, Brother Scott, if the Lord were to prick my heart about something, whatever it is, I'm willing to take action in regards to that. Nobody's looking around. Everybody have your eyes closed, okay? Now, how many of you would say that just by the uplifted hand? If the Lord spoke to my heart tonight, I'm willing to do whatever He would ask. Very good, very good. All right. You can look this way. All right, I think that's a great way to start our Bible study this evening. You're in Genesis chapter 27. Before we read our text tonight, I want to share with you an illustration to sort of launch us in the right direction. Years ago, there was a 14-year-old boy that decided to run away from home. Now, not for the reasons that you might think. In fact, he was not running away from home because he didn't like it there or they didn't like him. Okay, it was actually because he had a burden to serve his country, to fight for his country. And so at the age of 14, he ran off and he joined the cause. And just within a matter of months, he was ushered from the security of his home to the front lines fighting for his country. An officer that knew him well, even as a young teenage boy, said of this individual at the age 14, "I have not seen a more courageous individual." An officer said that of him. Can you imagine? How many of you are 14 in here today? You say, "I'm 14 years old." Okay? All right. Can you imagine being ushered to the front of the front lines fighting for your country? That was this individual. Okay? But time would go by. And they would continue in their line and military career, and they would get older, and they would advance up the ranks, so much so that within a few years, people around him, like years prior, said of this individual that they had not met a more promising individual. He rose through the ranks. But I'll tell you this, the world was utterly shocked. Because within a matter of years, he would sell out his country with deceit and lies. That man's name was Benedict Arnold. You and I know him as one of the greatest traitors that come to mind when we think of traitors. Benedict Arnold does not have a positive epitaph next to his name in our mind. He's a traitor. But when we look at the scriptures, maybe, just maybe, when we hear the word traitor or deceiver, maybe the individual that we're going to look at tonight actually even comes to your mind. Maybe you're already even thinking ahead, knowing that we're in Genesis chapter 27, and you already realize that we're going to be looking today at the life of Jacob. And this is what I want us to notice. I want us to notice four traits tonight that are characteristics of the steps on the road to living a life of lies and destruction. Lies and deceit. And I want us to notice some things about the life of Joseph tonight that I hope that all of us will take into account and see so that we don't make the same mistakes that Jacob was known for. Notice with me, you're in chapter 27. I want to show you here verse 1. Notice what the Bible says starting in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. He said, Behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out in the field, and take me some venison. And make me savor meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and my soul may bless thee before I die." Okay, this was not an uncharacteristic event for a father regarding his oldest son. Esau was the one deserving of this birthright. You may remember the altercation that happened between he and his brother Jacob and the deception that went on there. But nonetheless, Isaac comes to Esau and he says, "Hey, you are deserving of this blessing. I'm going to give it to you." And he says, "I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. So do me a favor, go out, find my favorite meat, make a meal, bring it back, and I'm going to bless you." Understand this, that this was probably one of the, if not the most important moment in the life of Esau. I mean, can you imagine being the one to whom the blessing of the father would come? This was in regards to material things, sure. You know, we think about an inheritance in our terms. Okay, but this was a supernatural event as well. This was something that was common that a father would do for his son that was hopefully God-fearing. He would bless him, and the Lord was involved in this. So it was a supernatural event, but it was a common event. Esau goes out, and all of a sudden, we find Jacob begins to plot. Notice what it says here in verse number 5. "And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savor meat, that I may eat it, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee." Verse 9, "Go now to the flock, and fetch from me thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death." Before we get too far into the message tonight, let's ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful that we can be here this evening. Lord, this is the priority. Lord, this is why we are here. Father, if it wasn't for your word, there'd be no reason to gather together tonight. Lord, if it wasn't for truth, Father, that comes directly from you and has been given to us in your word, Father, there'd be no reason for us to congregate together. Lord, I pray for that reason. Lord, you'd be with the heart that is furthest from you tonight. Lord, maybe somebody who's distracted in their mind and have been for a long time. Lord, maybe somebody who doesn't take the things of God seriously, or maybe, Lord, someone who has yet to accept you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw them to you this evening. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see the lessons and the examples that are found in the Old Testament. And Lord, we would count them as profitable and important to our everyday life. Lord, give me the words to say. I pray, Lord, that you take away the thoughts and the words that don't need to be said tonight. And Lord, that I would be used, Lord, as an instrument of you. Lord, we love you and ask for your help. In your name we pray. Amen. We're talking about the road of deception and lies. Notice with me the first step on the road to deceptions and lies that we see in Jacob's life is we see, number one, Jacob's affiliation. Notice Jacob's affiliation, and I encourage you to take notes. As we just read verses 5 through 10, we noticed here that Jacob has an affiliation that is pointing him down this road of deception and lies. Who is it in this passage exactly? We've already read it, but who is the affiliation that is helping out in this process, that helps to devise this devious and deceptive plan? Who is it that's helping him? Yes, Zion. His mom. Can you imagine your mom coming to you and saying, all right, now listen, we're going to make a big plot against dad, okay? And he's not going to know a thing about it, but basically it's going to be result in you receiving a lot of money and a lot of blessing. Okay, can you imagine your mom coming to you and saying such a thing? I cannot imagine. But understand this, that Jacob, this thought process does not come from the mind of Jacob. It comes from a close affiliation. You understand that rarely when a person is on the path of deception and lies, does it rarely just simply come from a bright idea inside that individual. It has many times, it is connected to an affiliation that is negative in their life. Notice what she says here. Mom comes to Jacob and she begins to speak to him. And notice in verse 9, she says, go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two kids, goats, that I make them savory meats for thy father, such as he loveth, that thou shalt bring it to thy father, he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. You know what I notice here? I notice that there's a bad affiliation here for Jacob. Now, it's kind of strange that it's coming from such a close relative in that being his mom. But at this point in time, what Jacob should have probably done is said, Mom, have you thought about what you're tasking me to do? This is just a little bit wrong. I mean, I cannot imagine being in the shoes of Jacob, and certainly that would have been a hard thing to look a parent in the eye and say, Mom, Dad, you're asking me to do something that is against God, and I want to serve Him. But you know, there are affiliations in our lives that many times point us down a road that is negative in our Christian life. And certainly that can be in terms of deception. You know, there are two types of people. There are people that are currently living a lie, I believe. We can look at the people such as if history's recorded, such as the Benedict Arnolds, people that have maybe gone through a process and now they are, you know, feeding information to the enemy. They are exactly not what they profess themselves to be. Many of you who were at Rush Night, we talked about living Christ-like and not living like someone else, okay? There have been those who have said, yes, I'm a Christian, but live contrary to that. But on the other side of things, there are people who are slowly working the channels, maybe like Jacob early on, that are not so committed to the hard, the bold-faced lies, but they're entering a path that is just a little bit shady. You know, sometimes our world likes to categorize deception and frame it in lies in terms of white lies. And bold-faced lies. Realize that there's no confusion in Scripture. A lie and deception is exactly what it is. It's sin against God. But you may be here tonight, and you may have a friend that's pointing you in a wrong direction. And much like a bad affiliation of Jacob, it's bringing spiritual deterioration to your life. I noticed a couple of things here in regards to this, is that Jacob had a forsaking problem. He had a forsaking problem. Understand that at this moment, it would have been great for Jacob to make a hard decision in regards to what he was going to do next. Hey, I understand that Jacob's mom is steering him in a wrong direction, but every single one of us has a personal decision to make when we're confronted with sin. Nobody can say that, well, I just fell into sin. I wasn't really, you know, thinking about it, or this person made me do wrong. None of us can say that. because all of us have been given a free will by God to choose for ourselves right and wrong. And Jacob is in that valley of decision. Unfortunately, he doesn't forsake the instruction that's coming to him. There have been people throughout the Bible who had an opportunity, a valley of decision, where they had to choose from the advice that was being given them. You know, I think about Job. How many of you remember Job and the intense trial that he went through? And having the closest individual, when much of your family has been slaughtered, and now the closest individual to you comes to you and says, hey, why don't you just curse God and die? Boy, what kind of advice Job gets from his own wife. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like? You know, I'm so thankful that Job was faithful and consistent in Scripture, that in spite of all those things, he just did right. He forsook the advice of even some of the closest people to him. Jacob has a forsaking problem. When you and I are faced with a decision, we ought to forsake. You know, I think about the suggestion that Amnon was given from his friend Jonadab. Do you remember Amnon, David's son, who committed great wickedness with his sister? I mean, can you imagine that? Jonadab comes to Amnon and says, hey, listen, I've got a great idea. And Amnon, he swallows it hook, line, and sinker and does exactly what Jonadab does. But Jonadab essentially pointed Amnon to an early grave. I mean, when it comes right down to it, Amnon died because of it and did not forsake the advice that was given to him. We're reading through the book of Corinthians right now, 1 Corinthians, in our devotions. I hope that you're doing those. I hope that you're enjoying those books as we read through them. But Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he told them this. He said, there are some unbelievers that have crept in your midst, and they've affected your relationship with me, in so much that your heart used to be enlarged towards me. You used to be in fellowship with me, but now some of the people that don't love the Lord have turned your hearts from that. And Paul is offering some advice here to the Corinthians that they should forsake that affiliation with those unsaved people who were pointing them in the wrong direction. So we see Jacob has a forsaking issue. You know, the best thing that you and I can do when someone confronts us with an opportunity to use deception, and even maybe in its lightest form, if we could say that, one of the best things that we can do is just say 100%, look, no. That's one of the best things we can do. Jacob doesn't forsake, therefore he keeps going. Notice that Jacob has a favor problem as well. Now, Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus said this, if any man come after me, and he hate not his mother and father and his mother and father and siblings, he's not worthy to be my disciples. We talked about that verse before. Jesus was not saying that you have to hate, literally hate, your relatives. He was saying this, that your love for me should so outshine your love for anybody else that it might at times appear as a level of hate. Okay, so you and I have to have favor of the Lord. Jacob here lines his favor up for his mom and puts that above the Lord. He says, you know what, my mom's standard for doing right is here, and obviously the Lord's standard is somewhere over here, and he says, I choose the favor of my mother. You know, we've got to be Christians who say, you know what, I choose only one favor, and that is the favor of Almighty God and His standard. Hey, can I encourage you tonight that if there's an individual that you're interested in, guys, and there's a girl that maybe you're interested in, and maybe she's good looking and she's got a great personality, but can I tell you this, if she doesn't love the Lord, you should want God's best more than anything that you would ever desire from a fleshly perspective. And ladies, can I say the same thing for you? If there's a guy and he does not line up to the standard of Scripture, just, you know, forsake. I'm telling you, forsake. Jacob did not forsake. He had a favor problem, but then also he had a forging problem. Notice this. Jacob here does not have an alliance of good acquaintances in his life. We don't know much about the friends that he had, but obviously his mother in his life, this affiliation, this bad affiliation that's feeding his deception, had his ear for the most part. But you and I need to forge good relationships. I cannot stress this. And I love the fact that this came up a lot in our Singspiration. I love hearing you guys talk about how you're thankful for each other. I loved hearing you talk about how my friends encourage me. Hey, that's what we are supposed to do as Christians. Boy, if we can't encourage each other, then where are we going to get that encouragement from? We have a great opportunity to sharpen each other as iron sharpeneth iron. I think it no coincidence that the Lord put that verse in Ethan's heart tonight. You need to count it as important to forge good Christian relationships. Boy, that was something that I fed on in high school. And it helps you out in so many different ways. You know, I remember going over to some good Christian friends' houses and them hosting me at different times, sometimes on weekends. And we'd go over there. And, you know, I never had to worry about them sticking in a movie that was not going to be consistent with what I believed. I didn't have to worry about that. If we ever were in that situation. In fact, I remember a couple of situations where, you know, we got all gung-ho behind a movie. Hey, this sounds really good. Let's put this in. And you know, we'd get to that moment where there's the first curse word, and we kind of look at each other. And we always, in my house, we had the three strikes, you're out rule. And that kind of limits a lot of movies. Then they came along with Clear Play and VidAngel, and that's awesome. How many of you use those today? Those are a great blessing. But let me tell you, I didn't have them when I was younger. And so we operated by the three strikes, you're out, in regards to swear words. And so we'd have a couple of swear words, and my friends and I would kind of look at each other, and waiting for that next one, and boy, you know, they'd have it, and it wasn't a question. We'd turn it off, and we didn't feel bad about it. Why? Because we had the same focus. But can I flip that around? When you spend time with someone who doesn't hold a standard that is consistent with God's word, it's extremely uncomfortable. You sit there, and you think to yourself, boy, I don't think this is good. You sit there and you think to yourself, "Well, I'm a Christian. I don't know if I should be." But it's their home. I feel bad about saying something. You know, you could use that same scenario in regard to a lot of different things. Places you go, music that you listen to. When you have great friends that love God's word and hold to scriptural principles, boy, it forges in you a spiritual endurance that encourages your heart. And boy, I'd love to encourage every single one of you, seek out spiritual relationships. Seek out people who build you up and forsake those relationships, those affiliations that will tear you down spiritually. I promise you, you will not be sorry. Jacob's affiliation was a part of the problem. Notice Jacob's attitude, though. Genesis chapter 27. Notice a couple of verses here. Verses 11 and 12. See what happens here. Verse 11, "And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, 'Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing.'" Now listen, I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this, because at face value, Jacob is saying, "We can't do this." But it's not for the reason you think. Look at it again. Notice this, that he gives a reason why this can't be done. He says this, number one, Jacob was afraid he would get punished. That's essentially what he's saying here. He says, peradventure, he's going to find me out, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Now, understand this, Jacob is not worried about the sin problem here. Okay? For the Christian, what is our thought process? Well, I want to do what God says to do. He is the one that I'm ultimately interested in pleasing. What is his standard for me? That's not the question Jacob's asking here. In fact, Jacob is worried that he's going to get punished if he does this. One of my sons has not accepted the Lord yet, and obviously they're both young, and it's just a process, obviously, of them getting older and coming to an age of understanding. We pray about that. But I'll tell you this, for that son, he is very set on doing right because of the punishment. That's the way his mind works. If you ask him right now, okay, why don't you do such and such? He will say, because I don't want to get a spanking. Okay? Spanking to him is like the worst thing in the world. Okay? And that's what he goes to. Okay? Now, for the Christian, now obviously we don't enjoy punishment, but our ultimate concern should be this. Hey, it's going to displease our Father in heaven, and I don't want to break his standard. Now, there's punishment that follows as well, and those things can often be an influence in helping us to do right. But Jacob's primary concern was not because he was going to go against the Lord, but because he was afraid to get punished. He was also afraid of failure. He tells his mom, he says, this plan might not work. Not the question he should be concerned with. He was also afraid of the perception. He says, my father is going to think me a deceiver. He's worried about the embarrassment that it will bring upon him. Do you see the twisted thinking here? Do you see it? Do you see what Jacob is thinking? He's got no concern for whether this event is right or wrong. Lying to him, being deceitful, does not make a difference to him. The sin is not an issue. It's simply based in, will I get caught? Can I tell you tonight that if that's your thinking in regards to whether or not you do certain things, I can tell you it's only a matter of time before you do it. It's only a matter of time. Because the older you get, you're going to find the more responsibility and the more freedom that you have. And if that's your process, it's only a matter of time before you get to that point that Jacob is on the path towards. Okay? You know, why don't I watch that movie? You know, why don't I listen to that music? Well, I'm afraid my parents will check my history. You know, I'm afraid that they'll walk in when I'm listening to that. Okay? You're afraid of the punishment. But can I ask you tonight to be more concerned with God's standard? I ask you tonight to consider what God says about it, regardless of whether you're ever found out or regardless of whether or not you're ever exposed in the minds of others. Quickly tonight, notice this, Jacob's, not only his attitude, his affiliation, his attitude towards it, but notice Jacob's actions. And this is the third step. Okay, this is the third step to on the road to lies and deception, living a life that undermines maybe your parents or undermines and scheming the authority that is in your life, trying to find ways to skirt around. And maybe you view it as, look, it's okay as long as you don't get caught. That's a worldly perspective. It's a wrong perspective. Jacob's affiliations and attitude was wrong, but look at his actions. He's now at the point where he's going to take action. Verse 13, notice what it says. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of the eldest son Esau, which were in her house, and put them upon Jacob, her young son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. Verse 17, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which he had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Verse 18, and he came unto his father and said, my father. Now I want you to track with me. Look at verse 18. Notice how many lies Jacob is going to tell in this passage. Notice what he says in verse 19. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau. Lie number one. Lie number two, thy firstborn. I have done according to thou badest me. Lie number three. Arise, son, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? He said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. I want us to notice this, all right? One action, one deception here leads to another and to another and to another. But notice the pinnacle of pride in Jacob's life. Notice what he gets to here in verse 19. Jacob said unto his father, I'm thy firstborn, I have done. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, notice the question, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? He said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me, Jacob's pinnacle of pride here. He goes into the tent. He probably looks ridiculous, but it doesn't matter because his father is blind. Okay, he walks into the tent. He's got things covering his arm. He's wearing Esau's clothes. Maybe he even tried just a little bit to disguise his voice so that he sounded like Esau. I sort of, in my mind, I picture Esau as kind of having a rougher voice, right? He's got, you know, hair, and he's just hunting, and he's all over the place. And Jacob, I view in a different light, but here he is. Jacob's dressed out like Esau, probably looks ridiculous. Jacob comes in, he's probably sweating profusely at the actions that he is about to commit. And his father stops him in his tracks, and he asks them a question. Now, this is Jacob's opportunity to bail. You know what I find? Many times the Lord gives us that gracious and merciful opportunity to get out while we still can. You're reading through the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 talks about how the Lord makes a way of what? Escape. And the Lord so often does when temptation is put before us, and Jacob is here, looking ridiculous, sweat pouring down his face, hanging on every word of his father. And you know what Jacob says? This is the pinnacle of that pride. Who does he bring into the conversation? Look at verse 19. Somebody look at it and tell me. Who does Jacob bring into this conversation to save it? Somebody's looking at it. I saw the hand. Does. Can you imagine? Okay? God knows who Jacob is. God knows the deception of his heart. God knows exactly where he is at. And Jacob, at the pinnacle of pride in his heart, says, Father, the Lord has enabled me to do this. How does a person get to that point? How does a person get to the point where they can bold-faced lie to their father and take advantage in such a way as this? Jacob is on a path that will put him for many years on a path of deception and lies. Let me leave you with this question. Did things work out for Jacob? His father blesses him. Maybe we step back and we say, hey, Jacob got away with it, didn't he? Brother Scott, listen, I know it's wrong, but look, Jacob got away with this. I mean, he got a blessing. I mean, everything went smoothly. His father didn't find him out in the situation. Everything went great, right? That makes it okay. But is that the reality? No, it's not, because very quickly it falls apart. What happens? Esau finds out about it. He's furious, threatens to kill him. Jacob goes on the run. And things don't stop there. Jacob goes to a place, and listen to this. Listen, when you and I get good at deception, the Lord is always going to find and hook us up with someone who's better at that game than we are. Who did Jacob run into that was better at the deceptive game than he was? Who was it? Laban, right? He meets Laban. Laban says, hey, I've got a couple of daughters. And Jacob says, yeah, you do. And he catches the eye of one of them, and he says, listen, you know, I want Rachel, right? And Laban says, all right, you want her, you'll work for her. Jacob says, I'll work for that. 7 years. The Bible says it went by like a heartbeat. I mean, every day he got up with that in mind. Hey, one day she's going to be my wife. Let me tell you, that day is very special. Some of you look forward to it even now. Some of you are like, I'm never getting married. Don't even talk about it. Okay. But that is probably, listen, that was probably one of the most important days in Jacob's life. Do you see the parallels here? Do you see the parallel? What was the most important day in Esau's life? His blessing. What was the most important day in Jacob's life? His wedding. And his uncle pulled one over on him, didn't he? Gave him the wrong, not the wrong, but gave him a different daughter. Okay, Jacob's furious. Hey, but what's happening? Things are turning on Jacob. He's realizing his name, that means supplanter, that means deceiver. He's a schemer at his core, and it's catching up with him. So much to the point that he would not bow his knee unto the Lord until years after that experience that we see here. He wrestles with God. He says, I won't let you go until you bless me. The Lord says, okay, but you're going to have to change something, and I'm going to change your name to Israel. You're no longer going to be known as a deceiver. But it was many years in the making. Here's the point of the message tonight. Listen, I don't look at a room this big and say, wow, there's a whole bunch of people living a lie tonight, because I don't think that's the case. But I think that there are some people tonight that you've been about that deceptive with your parents. Maybe you've been about that deceptive with an authority. Maybe you're on the other end of this thing where you're affiliated. You say, well, I didn't do the lie. Maybe you knew about it. Maybe there's something going on right now that you know about. You know some deception's going on, but you've not said anything. And I tell you, the Lord says in the book of James that he that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is what? It's sin. I realize these things are not always the easiest to deal with, but I will tell you this. If you make exceptions in your life in regards to truthfulness, you're going to find yourself very quickly on the road of deception and lies. Let's not go there. Let's avoid the path. Okay? A wrong affiliation, a wrong attitude, a wrong action leads to a road that none of us want to travel. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. We don't even have to ask Jacob if we could bring him back. We say, Jacob, would you have done anything different? Would you have listened to that affiliation in your life that was pointing you down that road? Would you do anything different? He would say, 100% yes. He knows better now. Listen, if I could somehow spare you from a life that looks like this, boy, I would do just about anything I possibly could. Can I encourage you, don't view a lie as just being something that's insignificant and that's light. Would you view it for what it is and call it what God calls it, sin? How many of you, be honest tonight, you say, Brother Scott, there's an area the Holy Spirit brought to mind tonight in regards to this idea of Lord, maybe scheming a little bit or being deceptive, something the Lord has pricked my heart about, an area, boy, I want to avoid that road that leads to a life like Jacob lived. Anybody like that tonight? Just by the uplifted hand, the Lord brought something to my mind, lies and deception, that the Lord's convicted me about. By the uplifted hand, anybody like that here tonight? I encourage you to do business with God tonight. I remind you, you made a promise to God. In the opening moments of our time together, I encourage you to keep that. Altar time is always an opportunity for you to deal with the Lord about things going on in your life. Don't neglect it. Don't put it off. Deal with it today. You won't be sorry. Heavenly Father, bless our invitation time. Lord, thank you for the truths that we found in the life of Jacob. May we avoid those and forge great affiliations. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If God's worked in your heart, don't even hesitate. Come right to the altar tonight. Don't wait. If God's worked in your heart, don't be ashamed of that. Be willing to get on your face before God and do business with Him. Listen, there's not a perfect individual in this room who doesn't have issues that we need to work through. But as long as you and I turn a deaf ear to spiritual truth, we're never going to gain traction. Don't worry about the person sitting next to you or the people around you or what they'll think. It doesn't matter. What matters is your relationship with God. Maybe some of you need tonight need to go to a parent and make something right. Listen, I know these things are difficult. I know they're hard. But I'm telling you, God will give you the courage that you need to do the right thing. Will you do the right thing tonight? a deception against your parents, an authoritative figure, or somebody else, or a friend is a sin against God. Confess that. Ask Him to help you get victory in that area. If you find yourself over and over again lending yourselves to those schemings, would you give that to God tonight? He can help you. Let's seek after truthfulness. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, seek these things. Amen.